This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. Earlier this month, a delegation of top U.S. government officials, including FBI Director James Comey and Secretary of Homeland Security Jay Johnson, met with executives of Apple, Twitter, Facebook, and other tech companies to discuss battling terrorism online. One idea was an algorithm that could crawl social sites for signs of radicalization and assign people a risk value like a credit score. The government would then, in theory, use that information to monitor the riskiest subjects. But is that legal? Karen Greenberg is director of the Center on National Security at Fordham University School of Law. Karen, welcome to OTM.
Thank you for having me.
So let's just say that the tech companies were able to put together some sort of algorithm that was actually quite good at crawling only the public spaces of the social web and somehow able to see the juxtaposition of certain words, whether it's jihad or explosives or broccoli, that gives a pretty good profile of intent to commit a terrorist act, let's just say. And some Joe Blow triggers the radicalization monitor. What could the companies and the government do with that high credit score legally?
That's a very good question. And this is related to issues that have been under debate legally ever since the Snowden revelations, if not before that. And so you're going to get a range of legal opinions on what they can collect. But the real question is here is what can they collect with a warrant and what can they collect without a warrant? And what they would have to do is show probable cause for some kind of criminal activity. If it were about foreign intelligence, it would be another kind of warrant. And then they could pursue some kind of investigation. Now, this is what goes on now when the FBI is trying to figure out who might be at risk of some kind of violent act.
It's really hard to imagine any sort of algorithmically generated score being useful in court to show the intention to commit a crime. But I can certainly see an FBI agent going to a judge and saying, look, you know, we've got this guy's scores. There's a high probability that he's very sympathetic to ISIS and the chatter is alarming. A judge saying, okay, you know, you may surveil him. You can have a warrant for that. How scrupulous do you think the judiciary will be in the face of what looks like a scientifically derived value?
I'm going to be an optimist about it. There's going to be a great deal of scrutiny about such a system. And let me say something about the courts and how they've dealt with individuals attracted to ISIS, which is somewhat different than how they've reacted to people accused of being associated with Al-Qaeda. There has been a sense that these are troubled youth, that they are often loners, that they are people who want to be terrorists but don't have the wherewithal, the means, the maturity. And I think that judges will take all of this into account and deal with it very carefully with a sense of rehabilitation rather than using the criminal justice system as a hammer. I do think that the idea that there could be some kind of radicalization tendency score is really anathema to how we think about criminal justice, probable cause, innocent until proven guilty. And I think that's going to come up time and again in suits, and that judges will be receptive and open to that.
When I first read this story, I said to myself, Bob, I said, this doesn't sound like just a pipe dream of security hawks. It sounds to me like something the government's probably doing right now. Call me paranoid, but seems to me this is happening already.
Well, I'm not going to say that you're paranoid. I think there are reasons to be watchful and vigilant. I think the government in the past has been excessive in its use of surveillance authorities that many would argue it didn't legally have. But I think particularly in the wake of the Patriot Act's demise of Section 215 and the metadata program being declared illegal, privacy concerns are spread across different constituencies in the United States. The one thing we have learned from this conversation with Silicon Valley and this idea of algorithms is that national security officials are not going to back down that easily from having powers such as that were conveyed by Section 215 of the Patriot Act taken away from them. But it's a robust debate, and it's not going to go down that easily.
I understand that the tech companies have historically been loath to hand over some of the data that the government has requested. However, they were at this powwow, and for whatever reason, maybe it's a patriotic duty, maybe it's a security duty, they seem to be on board with this.
I agree with you. The way this was reported in the media, it made it seem like the technology companies were very interesting in providing the service to the government. You can be sure that there is going to be a tremendous amount of pushback and challenge to any policy that's developed along these lines, whether it's transparent or secretive. But I want to underscore the idea that these algorithms could actually perform the kind of service that really needs to be performed by individuals with judgment, who have relationships with people. This is going to be a distraction when really what needs to be done is focused, interpersonal, reality-based understanding of what motivates people to take violent acts in the name of some kind of radical ideology.
Karen, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Karen Greenberg is director of the Center on National Security at Fordham University School of Law.